This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 13, 2019, the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. The words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. As we celebrate the feast of our Lord's baptism, it brings to culmination this whole Christmas story. The incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Epiphany, where he reveals himself to us, now his earthly ministry starts. When we look at the incarnation, again, the culmination being in the beginning of our Lord's earthly ministry, we see in the baptism a lot of theological things, a lot of nuances that we can get into and grasp. But I want to talk about the baptism and the theology behind it per se, or the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, or the life of John the Baptist. I want to kind of focus today on a principle that we learn from the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a principle of doing things that may not be necessary in a sense, but are necessary. Some questions are posed to us, and there's not a yes or no. It's yes and no. But our Lord Jesus Christ is baptized. Does he have to be baptized? Is it necessary for him to be baptized? The answer, in the most direct and explicit sense, is no. He didn't need to be baptized, because what is baptism? Particularly Old Testament baptism is what John is administering. It's not objective like ours. It's not the regeneration of the soul, the expunging of both original and actual sins. It was a ritual symbolic washing from sin. But even that, did our Lord Jesus Christ need to participate in that? No. He was sinless. There is no reason whatsoever that he had to. But was there a reason he had to? Yes, there was. So it's one of those questions. No and yes. Not because he had any sin, but yes, because he wanted to fulfill all righteousness. Our Lord Jesus Christ comes to John. John knows who he is. John said, you come to me for baptism? I should be baptized by you. And our Lord says, let it be so now, for it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Sometimes we do things externally that may not be absolutely necessary, but are necessary because of righteousness. That's where our Lord Jesus Christ is going. That is a principle that I've never thought about that. That's good for Jesus. No, this is something for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ's incarnation, his manifestation of himself, the Epiphany, is the basis, the foundation for our Catholic ethics and piety. It is a foundation for the way you should live your life as a Catholic. Doing things that may not be absolutely necessary, but are necessary to fulfill righteousness. We get a whole lot of discussion now about externals. People that visit this place sometimes, or debates or discussions you have with folks from your world. I can't believe you go there because it's so long and they do this and they do. For one thing, it's maybe 5 minutes longer, 10 minutes longer, okay? It's not that much longer. It communicates what we believe about Jesus Christ. This is what the liturgy has always been in the church. You don't have to do that stuff. How often do I point out, we don't have to do a lot. We don't have to be sitting in here right now. We could go out in the parking lot and I could celebrate Mass on the hood of a car. I mean that in all sincerity. If this place burned down or got knocked down a hurricane or an earthquake, I could do that. And you know what? Jesus Christ is no more present or no less present on the hood of that car than he is if the Pope celebrates Mass at St. Peter's. No difference in Jesus Christ's presence whatsoever. Is this place necessary? No. Is it necessary to be what it should be in our worship of God? Yes. There should be a special place where you go and Jesus Christ is truly present in the tabernacles of our altars. Okay? There should be a place like that. Necessary? No. Necessary for righteousness? Yes. The reserve of the Blessed Sacrament. You know, well, that's why churches exist. That's why these buildings exist. Oh, to worship God. No, to keep the Blessed Sacrament warm and secure and dry. That's why these places exist. As minimalistic or as opulent as they may be, if Jesus Christ is there, they exist to keep him safe and dry. Okay? That's the necessity. Does he have to be reserved? No. Doesn't have to be. But is it a good thing that he is? Yes. It's the externals. They are necessities. You have people that are into the Novus Ordo Mass. Oh, you know, it's just six of one, half of the other. You like that, that's your taste. I like this. It's not a matter of taste. A lot of people might get sick of hearing it around here. It is so important because, you know, we look around, oh, I can't believe what's going on in the church right now. You know what? I've said it before. It has absolutely everything to do with the liturgy. The problems we have in the church right now are liturgical problems. Because what does our liturgy do? It manifests what we believe and it manifests our love for Jesus Christ. That's what liturgy is for. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes, a couple weeks ago in a reading from Titus, that our Lord Jesus Christ came, God Almighty himself as our Savior, to do what? Because it benefited him in any way, shape, or form? Absolutely not. It was just the opposite for him. Didn't benefit him in any way, except let him do something that God could not do in the past, suffer and die. It did him no good whatsoever. He came here for us. And the Holy Spirit tells us through Paul writing to Titus that Jesus Christ came to train us to live godly lives in this world. Externals. Jesus Christ didn't come so you could feel warm and fuzzies inside. I go to Mass. You can't judge my heart. Yes, you can. And yes, you're supposed to judge the fruits. The fruits are the externals. And for the Catholic Church, the external par excellence, the representation of what we believe as Catholics, is to be found in the liturgy. Necessary? Per se? No. Necessary for righteousness? Yes. Lex orandi, lex credendi. How we pray demonstrates what we believe. When you look at the Mass, there is a book written by a priest of the Society of St. Peter, Father James Jackson. The title of the book says it all. It's a book is about the traditional Mass, and it's titled Nothing Superfluous, Nothing Just Because, Nothing for Fluff, not one thing, not one gesture, not one vestment, not one prayer, not one sign of the cross, nothing superfluous. Our demonstration of our love for Jesus Christ is manifest, as it says in the scripture, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. No matter if you believe or don't believe, if you come into a Catholic church, you should see God revered. You should see Him respected. It starts when you walk in. Liturgy starts by walking in the place and shutting up, preparing yourself for this awesome thing that, and I mean that, and that's so overused, awesome, awe-inspiring. We should be in awe of what goes on in this place. And we should act like we're, by preparing ourselves. You just don't waltz in. That's why in our Mass we have the prayers at the foot of the altar. That has always been there. The prayers at the foot of the altar. You walk into the church. The priest comes in with his attendants. You stop. I will not ascend up to where Jesus is until I confess my sins in front of everyone. And then we all confess our sins together. Then we move up. You know, just waltz in and start talking to God like He's your buddy. You set the stage right from the get-go. And then throughout the Mass, there's all these nuanced little things that happen. Things that if you're familiar with this, you don't really even notice. Things that people who are not familiar with it notice right off the bat. Every time the divine name, Jesus Christ, is uttered above the head, out of worship for our Lord Jesus Christ. Every time the name of the Blessed Mother, out of veneration for her, the head is bowed. Every time the name of the Holy Father is mentioned, the head is bowed. Out of respect for the papacy, not necessarily the individual who is pope at any given time, because throughout history there have been a bunch of bad ones. But our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Petrine ministry. And out of respect for that, when we hear the name of the one who sits there, we bow our head. If he's good, to ask the Lord's continued blessings on him. If he's a bad one, for the conversion of his soul. That's why we do that. It means something. The celebrant, why don't we do this little thing like act like God Almighty might be at our altars like we say he is? And before I touch, presume to touch, divinity, I genuflect. And after I touch it and put it down, I genuflect. Please don't kill me like you have in the past, some people who have touched you. Thank you for not killing me as you have done in the past. That's scripture. What? God never killed anybody? Yeah, he does. Uzzah by name. It's not for nothing. It's not superfluous. I actually heard a bishop say one time that the Novus Ordo Mass did away with the extravagances and excesses of the traditional Mass. The extravagances. There's a time in Scripture when somebody criticizes a woman for an extravagance to our Lord, and our Lord does say, yeah, you're right. She shouldn't have done that. Oh, sorry, I forgot. He says, leave her alone. She has done a good work for me, and it will be remembered for her for all eternity. Jesus likes extravagances if the motive is correct. He likes us to go out of our way. He likes excessive love. And that's what the old Mass demonstrates. Well, how can you say that? The new Mass, it's just objective. It's objective fact. We pray less in the Novus Ordo Mass. What? How can you say? We pray less, numerically. This is a numbers thing. Can't mess with numbers. They are what they are. In the old Mass, you could say three prayers at the beginning of the Mass. In the Novus Ordo Mass, you prohibited from that. You will say one prayer and one prayer only. Most five-year-olds know if you give them three of something and you take two away, guess what they have? Less than what they had before. So who can argue that we don't have less now? Let's not pray as much. Where's the orientation? Oh, because that makes it longer. Who does that concern? Doesn't concern God, aside from, I like when people pray to me. Pray without ceasing. There is a tremendous marked difference between what is presented now to most Catholics and what has historically been presented. But the liturgy isn't just a show to show how much we love you. The liturgy is where we learn our own personal piety and our own personal holiness. Again, something that you don't hear about too much anymore. And it is imperative. It's not suggested. We must be personally holy. The emphasis in the modernist church is the community, the communal. Guess what? The communal is not holy and pious if the individuals in the community are not holy and pious. That's why St. Paul says if you got somebody in there who's not holy or pious, particularly a mortal sinner, you get them out, you remove them from you. They are a weakening influence. We as individuals are supposed to be holy and pious. We have lost touch with this individual responsibility aspect of our faith that is of the utmost importance. Individual responsibility. Jesus Christ just didn't manifest himself as the one who came to save us. He also manifests himself as the one who will come and judge us. That's another thing that's horribly deficient in the Novus Ordo Mass, is leaving things out, like verses from the gospel, like today. Look at your bulletin. These verses, blank, these verses. What's the blank? John the Baptist looks at our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows who he is. He tells his disciples, there's going to be one that comes after me whose the thong of his sandals I cannot untie. Oh, that's great. He's going to be awesome. He goes on to explain. And he has it, and this is the verse that's missing. He has his winnowing fork in his hand, and he is going to separate the wheat from the chaff. The wheat he will pull in his barn, the chaff he will throw into unquenchable fire. We're taking that out because that throws a real damper on the baptism. That is the baptism. That is the beloved Son in whom God the Father is well pleased. The one who has his winnowing fork in his hand. The one that will come to judge us as individuals. This is not going to be a judgment of, hey, we all went to incarnation, so we're all going to be before the judgment seat of Christ. And you go, hey, incarnation, you were super awesome. He's going to look at each and every one of us as individuals and read our hearts and then make a judgment on us as individuals, not collectively. We got to start working on this piety thing and holiness because externals mean something. Can't judge a book by its cover. Oh, yes, you can. I was a cop for 28 years. Is it every single case? Nope. But you know what? After 28 years, about 98% of the time, I go, that guy needs attention. Because of the way he looked and the way he acted. And guess what? I was generally right. Not always, but generally. You can't judge a book by its cover. Yeah? You see somebody in here all dressed modestly with their chapel veil on and everything like that? Like, man, she's pious. And then you go to Publix and you're like, whoa! Let's just suffice it to say she's dressed very immodestly. There's something going on there. There's a problem. There's form in here without substance. And no person can look at you dressed immodestly and go, well, I'm really chaste on the inside. Just don't judge me. Yeah, I will. Because you can't be on the inside if you look like that on the out. That's just reality. That's just reality. And it's hypocrisy if we say it's not. When we demonstrate to God how much we love him and our piety and holiness, we are fulfilling righteousness. Necessary? Nope. Necessary? Yeah. Here's another blank in one of the readings for today, and that's that our Lord Jesus Christ came to teach us to live godly lives in this world. And as we're living those godly lives, we are, so, and I quote, declare these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority. The reading emphasizes the graces of our Lord Jesus Christ, how much he's done for us. It says, if you appreciate that, you will declare these to other people. You will show them. You will demonstrate to them that you truly believe and know what he's done for you, that you truly are embracing and cooperating with the graces, the fruits of the Spirit, doing your corporal works of penance, mercy, all of these things, one of which is reproving the sinner. We're supposed to show this to others. And if just showing them doesn't work, you are to exhort them. Again, not a suggestion. The Holy Spirit says, do these things. Show them, and then if they don't quite get it, exhort them. Teach them. Encourage them to do the right thing. And if they don't do that, you are supposed to, with all authority, because nothing you say should come from within yourself subjectively. It should be the Word of God. You rebuke them for it. You rebuke them for it. You correct them. That is also a corporal work of mercy articulated and promulgated by your church to rebuke. Wow. Oh, you're not supposed to rebuke anybody. Actually, if you read something, somebody's reading me something from the USCCB last night about this particular issue. And it really, you really got to watch that rebuking thing. And it said so many different ways that you got to watch it that basically you shouldn't really do that. Yes, you should. Because you were increasing that person's holiness and piety. We are going to be judged in this matter. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to know that. That's why we got to fill in the blanks that are left in the lectionary occasionally. Because those are the important parts. Because they show us our personal responsibility to the one who has loved us and given himself for us. Father and Son and the Holy Ghost.